Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. This week, we conclude our exploration of solitude.
Our guest today is Marissa Higgins, who is a writer based in Washington, D.C. Her reported features, personal essays, and analysis have appeared in The Atlantic, The Washington Post, Salon, Vice, Time Ideas, Pacific Standard, and elsewhere. Her work generally explores LGBTQ issues, women's health, and poverty. Welcome to the program, Marissa.
Thank you for having me.
You write that, personally, I know when I'm feeling stressed or overwhelmed. My instinct is to search for solitude. Can you share with us a little bit about what it is about solitude that seems so important and necessary in your life?
I'm definitely an introvert. I feel like a lot of interaction with others can be draining. A lot of stimulation can feel really tiring for me. It's important for me to have alone time to process my thoughts and reflect on myself and regain my emotional strength. Because if I interact with others too much and too often, I feel like it kind of depletes my energy.
As you attest, we're all different in terms of enjoying our solitude. If we think of ourselves like on a continuum of tendencies toward introversion or extroversion, how do we evaluate when it's too much time being alone?
I think for me, one of the signs of spending too much time alone is when social interaction kind of fills me with dread or anxiety. If a friend reaches out to me or a coworker and they invite me to something that's pretty normal and low pressure, like coffee or a movie or checking out a new restaurant, and I find myself being really nervous about going or feeling like it's overwhelming, then that's often a sign that I haven't been interacting with people enough. Because in reality, those things are usually fun and are enjoyable to go to. But when I don't do them often enough, I feel like more pressure.
Your piece in Bustle describes warning signs of when we're spending too much time alone. What are some of those?
If you're not in the habit of taking care of yourself and making yourself look presentable, maybe because you don't expect to see other people or you're not expecting to like leave your house or your space, that's definitely a sign that you're getting too used to being by yourself and not interacting with others face-to-face. I think other signs that you could be spending too much time alone are if you blow things out of proportion. If small social interactions end up feeling like a huge deal, talking to a cashier or a barista misunderstanding you, if those things end up giving you like a lot of stress and discomfort, it might be a sign that you're not used to the everyday interactions with people as much as you should be.
You write that actually too much time alone can contribute to low self-esteem or less self-esteem. Why is that?
There have been studies that suggest that if you're spending too much time by yourself, it could be linked to having anxiety or depression that can be associated with low self-esteem. If you find yourself longing for a lot of conversations or if you're feeling like really about the way you conduct yourself, you might be dreading the rejection or the feeling judged in social interactions. Like it might become a cycle where the less you interact with others, the less you feel comfortable doing so.
I wanted to ask you if you had any tips for us in terms of learning how to invite or ask friends to do things and to be okay with them rejecting an invitation. How do we learn to not take a rejected invitation as anything more than that and keep asking?
I think that's definitely tough, honestly, like no matter how active your social life is, just because it's totally normal to take rejection personally sometimes. I do think it's a situation where practice just makes it easier. If you only invite a friend to get coffee one time, or if you only invite someone to share an event that you're excited about one time and they say no, it can feel like they're very much rejecting you entirely. But if you make it a habit to frequently invite people, even when they say no, or, you know, try inviting one person or try inviting a group, then when people inevitably say no, I think it's a lot easier to be like, oh, but, you know, they are my friend or they do value my company because we do all of these other things together. So it's not personal. It's just a timing issue or, you know, their own work schedule or whatever.
What are some ways that people can push themselves to be more social?
I think it's tough depending on what your actual schedule is. If you're someone who works from home, I think it's definitely challenging. If your office or whatever you do is literally set up in your home, it's really easy to get away with and not even going outside once a day. But I think trying to set specific goals for yourself isn't the best way to do it. So making sure that you get outside and walk around your neighborhood at least once a day, or you look on the internet for local meetups or groups in your area for, you know, a 5K on Sunday morning or a museum tour of something that you're interested in anyway, and just kind of making like a list or jotting on your own calendar, go to 3 out of these 10 things this week or go to one thing every other weekend, I think are good ways to know that your opportunities to not be alone are really limitless, just depending on your neighborhood or how easy it is for you to get around. But I think just seeking out the opportunities and organizing them is the best way to feel like there's always something you can do. And avoid pinning all of your possible interactions or plans on just one friend or one sibling, because inevitably they will be busy. So you want to try to stretch your circle of opportunities as much as you can.
Marissa, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week, and hope you will be too.